fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new day on the program. Welcome into a new week. Welcome into a very rainy and wet day. Hope that yours is starting off dry. I'd say, you know, if you don't have to run right out of the house, wait a little bit. But I guess it's going to be like this for quite a while today. But that's okay. You bring the sunshine. Because I'm pretty much a storm cloud of pessimism and grumbling and anger every day. I try not to be. So, just as a note for you, and I don't know why this happens on the weekends, but I don't talk on the weekend if I can help it. Give my voice a chance to rest over the weekend. And also, like, I didn't do anything this weekend. Because this week I'm going to be so busy running around. Next weekend, starting Wednesday, I'll be at the Michigan Paracon all the way through next Sunday. So I'm going to be doing a ton of talking. Sitting at a table, everybody that comes up to my table to talk, giving a presentation. So I was like, let me just relax, take it easy, and not talk. I don't think I said anything out loud. All of Friday night after I left here, well, when I left here, I went to Steve East to the tasting. But then after that, when I got home, between that and all day Saturday, even though I went out and did some shopping and all that, I don't think I said anything out loud. And then yesterday, I was supposed to appear on a podcast. And when I went to speak, I was like, oh, where's my voice? So I don't know why it sounds a little bit off today, but I'm fine. Just a little strained, I guess. So you can help me through it at 508-996-0500. So I'll be with you today, tomorrow, and Wednesday morning. And then right after the show Wednesday, I'm heading to the airport to fly out to Michigan. So Brian Thomas will be with you on Thursday. Paul Santos will be with you on Friday. And I'll be back a week from today, with hopefully not a shredded voice. This will be the final Michigan Paracon too. So I don't know if somebody else, they're trying to get someone else to take it over. I don't know if that'll be the case. And if someone else does take it over, I don't know if they'll still have me go. So this could be my last trip out there, which means you'll be stuck with me next year. No couple days off. So there was a lot of news that happened over the course of the weekend. You heard Phil giving you the rundown on everything that went on. Another weekend, another fatal crash, actually a couple. Another weekend, another incident of shots fired. and another weekend and another person murdered in New Bedford. Another homicide. And I see on social media a lot of calls, a lot of people out there calling for Mayor Mitchell to say something. And Mayor Mitchell was on vacation last week. I don't know when he gets back. I don't know if he got back already. I don't know if he comes back today. I'm not sure. But we do have to hear from him at this point. There was that shooting that happened in the Monty's Park area following the Cape Verdean Recognition Week ceremonies. The mayor put out a statement about that. And that's the last we heard about these incidents. So I don't know if that was because there was so many people involved. We had three people shot last weekend. Thankfully, none with non-life-threatening injuries, but three people shot in one incident. And then this weekend, another fatal shooting after we had one a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, the city isn't as bad as people make it out to be. It's not. But the fact that the crime still happens concerns people. And it upsets people. And they just want to hear something reassuring from their leadership. They want to hear something from their police chief. They want to hear something from their mayor. They want to hear something from their city councilors when their city councilors actually want to comfort them and not just use the opportunity to take a dig at the mayor. And now, I'd have to go back and do the math, but I think that's three straight weeks. Three straight weekends of a shooting incident. Maybe three out of 4 weeks. Again, I'd have to look at the calendar. So let me do that. So one this weekend, one last weekend, and then one the weekend of the feast. So that's three straight weeks. Three straight weeks with people shot, and two out of those three with a person dying. That requires leadership. That requires someone to stand up and tell us what's being done about it. And I try not to be too critical of that because I also understand the idea of, you know, ongoing investigations. Just because they caught someone in the Earl Street shooting doesn't mean that there's not more suspects they're trying to weed out. But still, there's got to be something said. There's got to be something done to reassure people. And it wasn't like this is happening in one concentrated area of the city. The fatal shooting a couple of weeks ago was near North End. The one this past weekend was West End. The three people shot last week, I believe, was South End. So this is happening all over. And I don't know what warrants why or when the mayor chooses to make a statement. I mean, the circumstances of the Cape Verdean Recognition Weekend shooting were certainly different. As the mayor said, they believed it was somebody that came from outside the city. They opened fire at a time when people were outside and involved in the celebrations. But then what happened a week after that? There was another shooting in the same neighborhood. We heard nothing about that. So I think people are starting to get a little bit fed up, if they weren't already, just with the silence. You can say something without giving things away on the investigation. You can say something. And even if it's just standing up and saying the police are working hard, they're doing what they can, we're not going to stand for this. Then the public knows at least that you share in their frustration with this, that you're not turning a blind eye to this. I know Mayor Mitchell well enough to know that he's not. But not everybody knows him like I do. Not everybody listens every week when he's on the radio and he talks about what's going on in the city. Not everybody believes him when he speaks. So it's going to take someone who can be a consoler, a comforter in situations like this. You're going to find that just those few words of, like when he said something about the shooting at Monty's Park, people were like, finally, we hear from the mayor on something. And while, you know, it might have felt like it wasn't enough information, people were understanding of that. A lot more than they are when you're just dead silent on it. So if the mayor is back today, if he's back at his desk, hopefully we hear something. Hopefully he just makes some sort of statement to, and again, it's a no-win situation, I understand. Because he can say something and then there's going to be those critics who are going to say, not good enough. There are going to be those critics saying he's trying to downplay it or whatever it may be, because he won't come out and say all the information that they want him to say. But it's not about the critics. It's not about the people who are going to complain either way. It's about the people who are in the middle and who are scared, really. There's no better word for it. Scared. Certainly the people that live in these neighborhoods are scared. Certainly the people that live in these neighborhoods, and you don't want to tell them all the measures you're doing to up the protection on an area, but you can certainly say, don't worry, folks, we're going to have more patrols out there. You can certainly say, don't worry, folks, we have our best detectives working on solving this case. Sorry, I was just looking at the TV at the Ernesto predictions here. I mean, that's something. We'll probably hear something from the mayor about that, right? They had a press conference a couple of weeks ago to talk about their updated hurricane plans. I guarantee you there's more people that are afraid of getting shot than are afraid of what's going to happen with a hurricane. Hurricanes are a fact of life. It's inevitable. You can't do something about it. You can only try to weather the storm, no pun intended, the best you can. But two fatal shootings in 3 weeks, that's not a natural occurrence. It's not a natural disaster. So again, hopefully we hear something today. If not, I'm sure Chris will bring it up with Mayor Mitchell on Wednesday, along with other things that we still haven't heard about since the mayor was off last week. But I'll open it up to you. What would you want the mayor to hear you say? 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. Congratulations to all of the winners last week who won tickets to see Avril Lavigne at Xfinity Center. This week we have a brand new contest up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app for you. This week we are giving away tickets to see Rob Zombie and Alice Cooper, the Freaks on Parade Tour 2024 at the Xfinity Center. And it's going to sound weird when I say this, but this show is Friday, September 6th, which is only a couple of weeks away. We are almost into September. So Friday, September 6th, Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper, together, two legends, and we've got tickets to give away all this week. So you can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Tim's tickets are brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. As we always tell you, it's the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy. It's also the home of the Rack House Club, where you can sign up and get a very special bottle every month, along with other exclusives and specials and all kinds of things. I went to Stevie's Friday, as I said, for that tasting, and I picked up a couple of hard-to-find items. Hard-to-find whiskeys that when they get them in, you got to act quickly. So I saw that they were there, and I said, I'm going to grab these. And because I'm a Rack House Club member, I got 10% off. 10% off all your whiskey purchases if you're a member of the club. So just some of the great ways that they take care of you at Stevie's. Again, they're the sponsor of Tim's Tickets. So stop in. When you buy yourself something, tell them, hey, thanks for giving us a chance to win all those tickets this summer. And throughout September and into October. And who knows, we might even go even deeper than that, depending on what's on the calendar. And also this week, we are still giving away tickets, family four packs of tickets, to Day Out with Thomas, September 1st at Edaville. You can get tickets if you want to just buy them instead of trying to win them at Edaville.com. And you can follow Edaville Family Theme Park on Facebook for updates on all of their great upcoming fall events. I've got a lot going on this fall, running around, going all these different places, but I think I might have to get a table at the Cranberry Festival again. Sell some books, because it's just such a great event. And it is coming back this year. All right, I'm going to take a break here. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. And we're going to be going to the newsroom in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we can take your calls, 508-996-0500. We'll talk about some of the other stories in the news, some of the other things that are going on. I'm seeing just this tiny little sliver of the sun trying to poke its way out, but then there's another batch of clouds rolling right in front of it. So unfortunately, we're going to have this rain for a while. If you're heading out, grab your umbrella, grab your rain gear, as Ceci Del Carmen tells us. Right now, though, it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day with Phil Devitt.
The Democratic National Convention is here. Biden expected to take the stage. Hurricane Ernesto wreaking havoc on the East Coast. And a famous movie house for sale, if you're not too scared to buy it.
From the WBSM Newsroom, This is WBSM News.
The curtain rises on the Democratic National Convention today in Chicago. More from Mark Mayfield.
President Biden spent the weekend at Camp David working on his keynote address with top aides. Biden is expected to make his case for Vice President Kamala Harris to succeed him when he speaks to delegates and a nationwide television audience Monday night. Day one of the convention will include a series of tributes to Biden and what Democratic officials are calling a passing of the torch moment, with Harris joining him on stage. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Governor J.B. Pritzker confirming that the Illinois National Guard will be in Chicago to assist local police during the convention. The four-day event is expected to draw tens of thousands of people. Harris and her running mate were on the campaign trail over the weekend. She and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz traveled through western Pennsylvania ahead of the convention. Meanwhile, former President Trump and vice presidential hopeful Senator J.D. Vance are both expected to hold separate events today in Pennsylvania. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says current negotiations to push for a truce between Israel and Hamas may be the last chance to reach a deal to end the war. Speaking in Tel Aviv today, Blinken said this round of talks could be the best and last chance to get a ceasefire in place and hostages returned home. So far, there have been few breakthroughs in talks aimed at stopping the war that's been raging since last October when Hamas attacked Israel, killing more than 1,000 and taking hundreds hostage. Police are investigating a deadly mass shooting in Baltimore. Baltimore Police Commissioner Richard Worley spoke to the media.
We have 8 confirmed victims. One individual was pronounced deceased, 36-year-old male. Preliminarily, the victims range in age from 22 to 45. The victims range in condition from critical to stable.
The shooting happened around 8 p.m. Sunday night. Worley said officials found multiple firearms at the scene. Police have not determined what led to the shootings or who's responsible. This as 5 people were shot in Boston's Franklin Park around the same time last night, all expected to survive, and police are looking for a suspect. Over 17,000 AT&T workers across the Southeast are on strike after accusing the company of unfair labor practices during recent contract negotiations. A statement released Friday by the Communications Workers of America, the union representing the striking employees, said AT&T did not bargain in good faith and sent negotiators who didn't have authority to make decisions. Ernesto, once again a hurricane as it churns toward Canada. The National Hurricane Center says Ernesto is creating life-threatening surf and rip current conditions that will last for the next few days. The warnings stretch from Florida to Maine. Your full forecast is coming up. Gen Z is blaming social media for mental health issues they experience. That's according to a Talker Research survey of 2,000 Gen Z social media users. They say TikTok and Instagram are the main culprits, followed by Facebook. Those who were surveyed spend between 5 and 6 hours on social media each day. And the California home featured in the horror movie classic Poltergeist is up for sale. Lisa Carton has the details.
According to the listing, the 4-bedroom Simi Valley home is selling for nearly $1.2 million. And in case you missed it, the 1982 movie is about a suburban family whose home is haunted by ghosts that abduct their young daughter. The film depicts the house as being built over an old graveyard the owners were never told about. However, the listing promises the house is definitely not haunted. I'm Lisa Carton.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost to the Baltimore Orioles after falling 4-2 in their final at Camden Yards. Boston next visits the Houston Astros for a 3-game set that starts tonight at Minute Maid Park. And the New England Patriots close out the preseason on Sunday when they visit the Washington Commanders.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Monday morning. We're dealing with some patchy fog showers across the region. Temperature around 70, dangerous rip currents, and that is due to distant Ernesto. That is throughout today. As we head into the afternoon, temperatures in the mid-70s with showers and storms. Patchy fog overnight into tomorrow first thing, turning partly sunny tomorrow afternoon. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
now. People on the South Coast just waking up and having their alarm set through the WBSM app are freaking out. They're like, wait, why is that playing? And that is the theme from Poltergeist. It's actually the end theme, Carol Ann's theme. And it is both simultaneously one of my favorite songs and also the song that creeps me out the most. Like, I don't know, something about kids singing, but that one really freaks me out. And it's actually, that song has a weird association with Spooky South Coast because we used to take commercial breaks during the show. Years ago, we decided we were going to take all the commercials at the beginning of each hour and just do each hour commercial free because it makes it a lot easier editing it for the podcast. And so we would, I mean, now we've got all kinds of technology that takes the commercials out of podcasts and all that, but back in those days, you know, that's how we did it. And when we would come back from commercials back in the days where we played commercials and took commercial breaks during the show, we would play like horror movie themes or whatever to come back from. And anytime we tried to play that one, things would go haywire. The computer would fire things off randomly, or the file would freeze up. The song wouldn't play. So it was always kind of a running joke with us that maybe the Poltergeist curse, which isn't a real thing, but something people talk about, that the movie was cursed. So we thought, oh man, now the Poltergeist curse has come to Spooky South Coast. But in actuality, it was a combination of a program that was a little bit spotty and spotty users that didn't know what they were doing with that program in the Spooky crew. So that's why I'm glad I can play it now and it doesn't cause those problems. But man, that's still my favorite movie of all time. I don't own very many of those pop figures, the Funko Pops, but I went and got Carol Ann the other day from the Horror Family store downtown. So I have Carol Ann now in my office. And I'm very excited because when I go to TerrorCon next month, Oliver Robbins is going to be there, who played Robbie in Poltergeist and Poltergeist 2. And I have never, in all of the Comic-Cons and Paracons and different conventions that I've gone to, I have never done the photo op thing where you sign up and get a photo op with a celebrity. But I think I'm going to have to do it for Oliver Robbins. I think I'm going to have to. Because when am I going to get a chance to hang out with somebody from Poltergeist again? My favorite movie of all time. And I was just talking about the movie last week with Jason Kent because, you know, that story is out there about that Phil just shared with you about the house being for sale. And I was saying, you know, I'd love to buy it, but I would have to have just as much money as it takes to buy it, the $1.2 million to buy it. I would also need another $1 million to be able to redo the inside of it to make it look like it did in the movie because it does not look like that on the inside. And there's so many little subtle things about that movie that when I watched it as a kid, I didn't get until later when I was an adult. And I found something else out just over the weekend that I didn't know. In the movie, at the beginning of the movie, the family's parakeet dies and they bury the parakeet in a cigar box. And Carol Ann says, you know, Tweety doesn't like the smell. And I was like, oh, well, you know, cigar boxes, they smell funny. I understand that. But I found out this weekend that the movie was actually cut. The editors actually put that scene earlier in the film than it was originally supposed to appear in the script. Because there's the later scene where you see them, the parents in the bedroom, and they're rolling a joint while hanging out in the bedroom. And the mother's using the cigar box. So the cigar box that the bird was buried in was supposed to be her weed box, her stash. But they just edited it out of order. So, you know, you didn't catch on to that. But once you know that, you're like, oh, that makes sense. I get it now. So just little subtle things like that. And the fact that, you know, here they are, these children of the 60s hippies and Stephen and Diane Freeling. And as they're smoking a joint, he's reading a Ronald Reagan book. So it just kind of showed that dichotomy of the 80s. And it's a deeper film than people realize it. And also, when I watched it for the first time in 4K a couple years ago, I went out and bought a 4K player. and that movie. And that's the only movie I ever bought in 4K. It's the only one I've ever watched in 4K on the player. I should watch the more movies on it, but I don't want to spend money on movies. And watching it in that was like a total game changer because I actually felt like I knew the physical layout of that house now. And you're kind of like, oh, that's around the corner. Oh, I see. I get it now. I feel like I'm in the house. So now I would especially want to redo the inside of it to look like it did in the movie. That big staircase in the middle. And I always saw that they didn't really film the movie in the house. Obviously, they have to use a soundstage for the special effects and all that. But I guess the kitchen scene was actually in the kitchen. Because the kitchen looks similar, unless they just decided to do it to make it look like the movie. But, you know, Cuesta Verde. They left the cemetery. They moved the headstones, but they left the cemetery. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. I got a Snapchat message from JP in a cushion who says, can you explain the poltergeist curse? I can, very briefly. So this is something that came about because people felt that the movies were cursed because there were some strange things that happened around the film and around the trilogy of films. So I think it really started with Dominique Dunn, who played the oldest daughter, Dana, in the first film. And she was the daughter of crime writer Dominic Dunn. And she was murdered by her boyfriend. I believe it happened right after the film came out. So the film came out in the summer of 1982, and she was killed in November of 1982. She was strangled by her ex-boyfriend. And he only served 3.5 years for that. It was considered voluntary manslaughter. He got 6.5 years, and he only served 3.5 years of it. And then, of course, the big death that happened out of that franchise was Heather O'Rourke, who was 12 years old when she died in the midst of filming Poltergeist 3. They actually had to do some more of her shots for that film with a little person playing her from behind. And because it was a movie that was based on, you know, mirrors were a big part of the script, they were able to hide the fact that they were using someone else. But you can see later on, you know, in the later parts of the film, especially now that it's in HD, you can see like, oh, that's not her. But she had had some health issues already. When we were kids, the story was that she had died of the flu, and that was partially true. She had actually died from complications from an acute bowel obstruction. She had Crohn's disease. But also this was exacerbated by the flu, I believe. And then there were some other deaths associated with Poltergeist 2. Will Sampson, who played Taylor, the Native American shaman who helps the Freeling family, he died of a heart attack not long after the filming of the movie. But he had had a history of heart problems. And Julian Beck, who is the greatest movie bad guy, he played Reverend Henry Kane. Y'all gonna die in there. You know, Reverend Kane still creeps people out to this day. They didn't have to use a lot of makeup on that guy. He died of stomach cancer right after the movie wrapped. And he was dying of stomach cancer while he was filming. And Julian Beck ran a theater in, I believe, Chicago for a number of years. Was a beloved actor. Everybody loved the guy. He helped so many people get big breaks while he was, you know, kind of not a movie star by any means. But he was always there to support other people, and everybody loved him. nicest guy in the world, and his most memorable role is that of somebody who was pure evil. But anyway, all of these things are just coincidences. They're not a curse. But it led to people talking about the poltergeist curse because there's also an exorcist curse. There's also an omen curse because of the things that happen around these movies. But things happen around movies all the time. So you had somebody who had an abusive boyfriend. You had someone who had a disease. Two people, three people really that had diseases. Like, it's just, you know, it makes for a good story. It makes for a good, that show that used to be on E! With AJ Benza about the Hollywood mysteries. You know, it makes for a good episode of that. But it doesn't mean that there's an actual curse. And the story, the urban legend that came about was that the reason why there was a curse is because that scene in Poltergeist where they use the, where they have the corpses in the pool, Diane falls into the pool and all the corpses pop up. They used real human corpses in that scene. So people felt like, oh, that's why it's cursed. That the spirits of those people put a curse on the Poltergeist franchise. Not true. The only thing we were cursed by was that sequel, that reboot they tried to make. It just was horrible. Anyway, there's my movie lesson of the day for you, I guess. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to the phones. 508-996-0500. You are on WBSM.
Hello?
Hi, good morning.
Oh, I'm calling from Fairhaven on Middle Street. We don't have any power over here, and I noticed nothing's been mentioned on the radio here. Do you know anything about it?
I do not. No. Have you reported it to Eversource?
No, I did not, because I got my car, drove around, and the houses in the immediate block area are off, and the Cumberland Farms a block away is also off. So,
okay, if you go to Eversource and you report it, then what they'll do is they'll send you a text message update and let you know what it is and when you can expect the power restored.
Eversource. Super. Thank you very much, and
no
have
problem.
A good day.
You as well. And I'll see if I can find anything online, but that'll probably be quicker because that's what I do. Every time the power goes out, in fact, my power went out last week, and I immediately reported it to Eversource. I went to the report an outage part on the website on my phone, reported it, and got a text message back right away that says, you know, we are not aware of any power outages in your area. And I was like, well, that's weird. And I was like, well, I guess I must have been the first person to report it. Like 10 minutes goes by. I don't get any update from them or anything. It's like, well, usually you hear like by now that there's some sort of update, even if I'm the first to report it. And about another 10 minutes later, I was like, wait a minute, maybe let me go check the fuse panel. And then, yeah, no, it was just me. Apparently something had tripped. And so I didn't even think of that first. So now I've learned, check the fuse panel first. But I always, yeah, I just grab the phone and go to the Eversource site and report it. And they usually get back to you within minutes with what you can expect. I don't know how accurate the information is. But I can tell you that usually when it's told me I can expect my power to be restored by a certain time, it's come back sooner than that. There have been a couple of instances where I would get a later text message that said, you know, previous restoration time has been updated, and then it's a little bit longer than expected, but normally the system works pretty well. But you could also be the first person to report it too, so keep that in mind. But they'll still send you an update once they have information. And I'll see if I can find anything on.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.